listening to Strangely.
Before the next song started.
Yeah, kill that.
All right. Don't Blame Us, that's Dale J. Gordon. Music stylings of Dale J. Gordon.
Hey, guys. Wait, I'll do like this. Yeah, because we can't let the Periscope ruin the show.
Right, yeah, it's just secondary.
Hi, I'm Chris Brake. This is a Chris Brake Show. We are live every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on StrangeLabel.com. I'm Chris Brake, here with my good friend John Rapp. John, let's do this. Something weird is happening right now. We are periscoping live. Although, I don't know why we're doing this, John, because the audio is not...
They can't hear it on the periscope.
Yeah.
Well, you turned it on right before the show, and people were watching us for whatever reason.
Yes.
There's a built-in audience. You turn the periscope on, there's people there. You mentioned it tweeted out. To our Twitter followers.
Yeah, but this time I set the name of the video as Chris Brake Show Live.
Live.
8 p.m. Eastern or something like that on StrangeLabel.com.
So nice.
Maybe somebody might listen there. I don't know. It's going to be a weird experience if they go to Strange Label and listen to the audio live while they're watching. I don't know if they can do that.
Yeah, you'd have to have some type of secondary device, but you were talking about a way that in the future we could have it.
We need to get one of those plugs that has the three lines on it instead of the two.
And then you'd be able to hear the show on the periscope.
The one line on the plug is mono. The two is the stereo, as you taught me. Then all of a sudden, I looked down and I had three.
What's the three?
It's a mic.
A mic?
Yeah, it means a mic.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So three means an input.
Mr. Vito Speaks has just joined us live on Periscope.
Vito Speaks. Hello.
We have a special guest today. John, this is throwing me off.
The periscope's throwing you off. You know, it's a new thing. It might feel a bit weird, but hey, at least people are watching.
No, there's four of them. I feel like I should hand this to you. I can't look at this.
Okay.
I can't look at this.
This is freaking you out?
Yeah, here you go, John. But see, it's...
Chris is handing me the iPad.
It's sideways. Ah!
It's sitting sideways?
Yeah, so you're going to have to... Don't let it fall and break.
Right. Okay. But, you guys can look at my fat face. While we do the show. If that's something you're interested in, you go to Periscope and look up Chris Brake Show. And we're on there for your looking at pleasure.
Okay,
on
John.
With the show.
Now, what happened? We went boating.
That was fun. Went on a boat. Yeah, that was fun.
There's a video of you on our Instagram.
Yeah.
Just part two, not part one. It's 8:08. You know, man, I just don't really have anything to say.
Well, let's talk about the boat a little bit, because that was fun. I never... Oh.
Whoa. Who's that?
Yeah, Dale Gordon is calling.
What?
Do we answer?
Didn't we tell her 8:10?
Yeah.
All right, we have a guest tonight. It's Dale Gordon.
She hung up.
Oh. Well, that solves that problem.
Should we talk about the boat, or should we do the Dale? Maybe we should do the Dale.
Let's do the Dale. Hello.
Okay, here we go.
Special guest Dale Gordon live on the Chris Brake Show.
Yeah.
How are you?
That's what I say.
Yeah, that's what you say?
That's right.
Innerbeats.net.
Yeah. I can't see you.
Oh, we don't do video. Why, can we see you?
Can you see me?
Yeah.
John, put her on Periscope.
Oh, you don't do video.
No, we don't. Although we are on Periscope. If you double tap the screen, John.
Check this out, Lisa. Ooh. It's Dale Gordon on the Chris Brake Show.
Dale Gordon from New York.
And I see y'all. So what fun is this?
We don't have a camera, Dale. I'm sorry.
Someone loves you on Periscope, Dale. With lots of hearts.
Oh, my Lord. Indiana?
Yes, Indiana. Oh, hey, Periscopers, you're not going to be able to hear Dale.
Yeah, go to strangelabel.com, click listen now, and you can hear Dale, the interview with Dale Gordon.
Somebody loves you anyway, though.
Hey, I hope so.
So what exactly do you, what would you say you do? Like, you're a drum, like, what are you, healing, drum healer? Like, I watched your videos, and it looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. I do a little bit of everything, you know. Drumming and healing workshops for the New York Public Libraries for about 25 years. It's really transformational. It's great stuff. We have a lot of fun. That's why it's called Inner Beats.
Huh, John, so, put that camera down. You just distracted you.
Oh, yeah. Double, okay, the camera's going down.
Double tap that screen so you can see you and then just put it back where it was, I guess.
There I am, talking, all sweaty and fat.
I'm sorry, Dale. So yeah. Now you do it for the public library system?
Yes, the New York Public Library System. I go all over neighborhoods like the Bronx, Manhattan, Westchester, Harlem,
and so
Riverdale.
Do you now do? Is it a free course or is it just a class? Like, what exactly do people do?
It's like a workshop. The library actually has it for young adults. They have is what I do. Young adults. So. I teach young adults, but everybody in my workshop is invited, so everybody comes to my workshop. The library has different ages, adults, you know, young adults, children, toddlers. So I teach them.
What would make, so is it just people who want to play drums? Like, those are the type of people that would show up?
No, it's kids, it's everybody, it's old people, it's people with disabilities. They're in the library doing research or hanging out. And it's a scheduled workshop, so everybody online knows that it's happening. If you're online and you're into the hanging out at the libraries, so I'm booked way ahead of time, you know.
What made you start doing that?
My father was a drummer, so he was a trap drummer, the regular drums, you know. So. I used to follow him around, and the family, I had a brother who was a musician, and I would follow my father around. You know the Catskills?
Yeah.
The old Jewish Alps.
Oh, yeah. What are they called? What's the name for that? The Borscht Circuit or Borscht Belt or something like that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. So I used to follow him around when I was little, and, you know... Got to see all the great old comedians and singers in the Catskills. Everybody used to go up there to make their money and get their fame, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I used to live upstate. I used to follow my father around New York State. Then I moved to New York City and banged on them drums. Hung out in the park.
What'd you say? Start doing drugs?
Yeah, that too.
Wait, what kind of drugs were you doing over there?
Pot. Smoking pot.
Okay, I'm trying to get a feel for you. So you just seem like a nice lady who just bangs her drum all day and gathers a bunch of people and smokes some weed and just starts pounding drums.
Yeah, that's what I used to do when I was younger.
I'm telling you. Those videos looked excellent. You got some videos on innerbeats.com. You got some videos on there where you're with a bunch of people with intellectual disabilities, and they're all just, everybody's just pounding drums. They look like a fucking blast.
Dang it.
You know?
Yeah.
It looks really fun, because I know John's brother just loves to just pound the drum, you know, or any loud noise, and you just had a room full of people just, you know, just pounding on shit nonstop.
That sounds good. What was that?
It was your video.
No, it was the ukulele. Chris was pounding his ukulele.
Oh, yeah. The videos. Yeah. Let's see. Where were we now? I'm dropping the. Hold on a second.
Who knows? I'm so confused.
Yeah. In my workshops, you know, for years, I developed them out of my professionalism for many years. As a hand drummer, you know, percussionist. And It was very, very, very popular. It's good money, and I've been doing it for 25 years. It's just, it's freelance, so got to do other things, you know?
What type of other things do you do?
I'm also a drug counselor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, for the mentally ill, so, and the homeless. So many, many years ago, actually, I started, like 24 years ago, working for hospital audiences incorporated, and they bring music and arts to disability, the mental illness community. And I, you know, I was successful. You know, I didn't always understand about mental illness and what drums can do to what drums can do a lot, not just for that population, you know.
What can drums do for mentally ill people? Is that therapy? Because my brother has some mental illness. Yeah. So I'm interested in that.
Is that a mental illness, though, or is that a? I think that's a more of a intellectual disability, right?
What is it called? He's missing a chromosome. He's got a syndrome, I guess. There's something wrong with him. But what does the drums do for you? Like, there's something healing about playing the drums like that. I believe it, but I want to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, man, drumming is like an ancient technique. You know, it shifts our state of consciousness. Did you know that? You know,
did not, but I believe it because I've felt that before. You know, you listen to music and some drums just get you pumped.
Yeah, and you know, it's the rhythmic thing, like you're breathing. It's rhythmic, you know. So even all the, you know, the ancient techniques, they used to use that, the beats to synchronize the body and the mind. We can go on, you know, forever, but... you know, and it also alters your brain waves, by the way.
Just drumming alters your brain waves.
Yes, and wow. The vibrations. Mm-hmm. That's why all those old shamanisms and all the spiritual Indians and way, way back, that's how they communicated and healed people, you know, from drumming. But when I got into it, I was just doing it because, you know, I dug it. My father was a musician. I got turned on by the Kungas from the Jackson 5.
Who?
The Jackson 5.
This is the congas, right? Congas?
Yeah. There was one brother who played them, and that was history for me, you know?
They're from Indiana, right?
Yeah, Indiana. Well, that's true.
There you go.
Which Jackson played the congas or the bongos or the what?
Congas.
Was it Randy? The one that wasn't just in the background.
Jermaine.
Was that Randy? No, not Jermaine.
Jermaine Jackson?
I don't know any of them. Jermaine, Tito, who's the other one?
I don't know. It's like next to the smallest one. I don't know. But
they played the drums, huh?
Yeah, the Kunga drum. There was one
Kunga. Kunga drum. I thought it was Conga. No, it's Kunga?
That's okay, racist.
It's supposed to be Conga, but, well.
Kunga? We get in trouble for that over here.
It's true, but I say that because of my accent. You know, it's easier. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. We weren't trying to make fun of any accents. That wasn't our intention.
Yeah, no.
We thought we were just saying it wrong because we were uninformed of the proper pronunciation.
Yeah. I thought we had it wrong. Well, I'm going to start saying calling Kunga now. Kunga drums.
I do. I switch between both of them. It's just what I do. You know, there's whatever. You're allowed to say whatever you want now, right?
You should be.
Let's tell that to Donald Trump.
Oh.
Woo. I hope you're not voting for him.
You know, here's the thing, Dale. I think I would, only for the chaos factor. Do I believe that he'd be president? No, I don't think he'll make it that far. Do I want him to be president? Not necessarily, but do I want a psychopath who has no business being the president instead of somebody who was bought to be the president, paid to be the president? Yeah, I'd like to have this guy just because he's a wild card, you know, just throw him in there and just see what the hell happens. Because you know how controlled that, you know, that political system is. They're never going to let him be president. If they do, nothing's going to happen. And, you know, like he's not going to be, there's no power. They're not going to let that guy do anything.
It's a fucking mess.
I just want to see what would happen. It's like when you're driving. I will vote for Donald Trump because I just want to see what will happen.
Just to get him. Yeah, that would be a media circus. That would be the most interesting 4 years ever. Donald Trump every day saying the most ridiculous shit.
Oh, my God.
be interesting, to say the least.
So Dale, when I find myself feeling that way, I question if maybe I might be possibly be an anarchist or something.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Whatever turns you on, right?
He just cracks me up. I just think that'd be great. You know, it's like, because for a while I was all behind Barack Obama, you know, when I was younger. You know, it's like, oh, he's going to change. It's change what we need, hope. I went to a bunch of rallies for him, you know, saw him speak. Like, it was, you know, I was all for it. And then my heart got broken, and now I just don't believe that politics are real. I think it's a wrestling match, and I want the, what's his name, the Shill? Or the heel? I want the heel.
Yeah.
I want the heel to win.
We're not voting for no baby face over here. Vote for the heel. Well,
at least when, what's his name, Clinton was doing it, we had saxophone. We had a president who played saxophone. Maybe one of these will play some drums, you know?
All right. A drumming president. That would be cool.
So now, if you found out that Donald Trump played drums, would you be more likely to vote for him?
I might. Mm-hmm.
Now, you're in a very strange demographic, Dale, because I don't think that a lot of the nominees would consider that to be a, you know, what do you call that?
What's a platform or something?
Yeah, a platform or
an issue. What's your issue on drums? What's your stance on drums?
Wouldn't you like to open debate night with a bunch of drums, man? Wouldn't that be cool? Debate night?
I would watch that. I would tape it.
I love those drum circles. I lived on near Venice Beach for not too long, not as long as I should have. And that drum circle they did at the end of the night, man, was so much so cool.
Yeah, man. I led a lot of them around, all around. I lead a lot of those drumming.
How does one start a drum circle?
It only takes two people to start a drum circle.
If John and I went down to downtown Indianapolis and we just started just drumming real loud, what would happen?
The vibration would attract other drummers, other artists, talented people. It's just the vibration from the drums, you know.
Wow.
Like the Indians used to play, or any village, or any people play in their village, or that's how they communicate, right? Way, way, way back in the days, that's how many towns, or whatever you want to call it, villages, communicated with each other. You know, there was no phones in those days, right, or anything.
So you're saying if we went downtown and the middle of the city, now would we sit down or would we walk around?
Now sit down, or you carry the drum around you. You know, if you have a djembe drum, the African drum, there's a strap, so you put that around you. Or you could sit, bring a little something, sit on it, just start playing, man. You can create whatever you want to create. Depends on your energy, you know. And
you've done this to where you've gone and just sat down with you and another person, right?
I sat down with two people in Washington Square Park many, many years ago when I was younger, and just about two of us, and it created, I don't know, hundreds of people, hundreds of people in the middle of New York City. And I was getting high. I was young, you know, I don't know, like maybe 18, 19. I'm much older now. And, man, I created a whole big thing just because I had the energy and I was drumming. And NYU College was right there, so they came out, they filmed the whole thing. It was a big thing. I'm on the archives when they put you, yeah, the film in NYU. So, man, if you got it, you can create it.
Now, how long did it take? Because I think this would be a good fun thing to do, just to see if we could do it.
I want to do that.
How long did it take to get 200 people?
Man, there must have been 500-600 people. Yeah, it was a huge New York City, Washington Square Park. Man, we're going back. It was little by little, like two of us, and the next thing you know, two more drummers. Then the next thing you know, you got two dancers and then a flute player. And then you got all the people in the park getting high. So they had to come and sing and dance. And the next thing you know, the whole thing is filled up. And, you know, I started it with someone else. And I just went, you know, you don't know where you're going to really end up, but the spirit, man, just, and I think we went on for hours. And the reason this whole big thing stopped is because I got tired.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, the thing doesn't continue without you?
Well, I started it, and I kind of, you know, was the leader. Not like you would know it was me, but sort of it's a spiritual thing. You have to be in the circle to get it. You know, we're connected, you know, some of the drummers and us, and we're connected. So then this thing is, and whoever else joins, they follow. It's sort of like a drum circle protocol, you know?
So it starts with the drums. So the drums stop, yeah. You got nothing. Is that right?
Exactly.
Wow. See, we used to go down and play guitars. We weren't doing nothing, man.
Now, this sounds great. So do you hear what she's saying? She says, Dale says, you sit down with two or three people. You just start playing the drums, and then where she was at, all of a sudden, two more drummers just showed up out of nowhere.
Right. You attract drummers. We should try that. Test it out.
Now, I'm not a drummer, so yeah. would I be okay?
It doesn't matter.
All right.
You know what you do is you bring a little drum, something small, so when the drummers come, they can play. So you bring a little something for other people. You play what you play. And the next thing you know, man, with your energy, you can create anything. Next thing you know, you're on the news.
Have you created anything else?
A lot of stuff.
What was the best thing?
Oh my God, I don't know. I have to think about it. I've created so much stuff. So much stuff, man. I can't remember.
I got a question.
Unless it comes up.
I got a question, Dale. Have you ever slept like in the street or like, you know, kind of been homeless, I guess?
No.
Nice.
No. Why? Would that make me a better drummer?
No. We've been talking to a lot of people, and I'm just amazed at how many people at one point in their life have taken a shower outside, you know, or been homeless.
Well, you know, it's kind of sad because, I don't know, you have homeless people over there in Indiana?
Yeah. Not like New York, I don't believe.
Not as much, maybe? Or yeah. Not as many?
Or maybe they, yeah, I would say not. Yeah, it's got to be not as many. It's got to be not near as many.
Okay. Not because it's kind of sad, you know, you never really know. Not everybody is mentally ill who's in the street. A lot of people who lost their jobs or went on bad times and have no help from family or anything. You just don't know. Well, there is a big thing now. They've always been trying to help the homeless, but now there's been so many, you know, accidents and different homeless people that maybe weren't getting their medication. So there's been a lot of accidents and what else do you call it? Accidents. Victims and victimized people. You know.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody understands the homeless, but let's see. Did I just push something? No. Okay.
You did.
You sure you can't see me?
You pushed something. Now you sound farther away.
Oh, you sure you can't see me?
Oh, wait.
I can see my...
No, yeah, I think John can see
you.
Yeah,
I can see you, yeah.
I'm not in front of the computer.
We're not watching you the whole time, though. Don't worry. She's holding the phone real close to her so we can hear her better.
Oh, yeah, that's good. You can turn off the screen, I believe.
Let me see, because I don't want to turn you off. I don't want to touch it. But I'm roaming around while I'm talking to you, so
there should be a picture of an icon that looks like a video camera, maybe.
Yeah, I can see myself.
But if you see, if you press that video camera, the thing that looks like a video camera, it should turn your video off.
Let's see. I just don't want to press anything to turn you off because you never know. Well, if I turn it off, then you can't see me.
We won't be able to see you if you turn it off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care. I don't care. I'm just.
Then why we have this conversation?
Because I'm actually looking to see if I can turn it off. But anyways.
Yeah, there should be like a video camera icon that you press, and that should, I believe that's how you do it. That should just turn it off, you know.
Well, now I even got bigger. Now I can see myself even more. I'm tired of looking at myself. I want to see you guys.
Oh, we don't have a...
But then if you don't have it, how come you can see me?
Well, we don't have a camera.
Well, how come Don can see me?
I'm on the computer that has Skype, and because you're on your end, you have your camera on. So if you turn it off, I wouldn't be able to see you, and it might make the quality better, but it's not a big deal.
Basically, Dale, I think John likes looking at you.
Yeah, if you could go ahead and we just lost her. Oh, she's back.
There I go. Hey, let him look. Whatever. Because I swear, if I press anything here, I'm going to turn us off. Right?
Yeah.
I press the wrong
button. You
Dale,
never know.
Dale, you're really making me want to get up and go look at you. All this talk of this video makes me want to go look at this video.
Well, let's see.
Nope, don't turn it off.
Well, I don't know. I used to have Skype on the computer. But I don't
know. Yeah.
Oh, now you know my age. Right. Oh, I know. Oh, my God. Now you know my age.
Oh, do we? How's that?
You said the
70s. Oh, yeah. Cat's out of the bag, Dale.
What'd you say? I'm 70?
No, you were referencing being in college like in the 70s. You said something like that.
I didn't say that.
Well, you said something along those lines. I don't know what, you know.
I just finished my bachelor's. I'm waiting for my bachelor's, actually, at the moment. I'm a late bloomer.
You know, I was a late bloomer as well. You know, like I always felt real insecure when I had to take showers in like middle school and high school because everybody else was like, you know, sprouting, and I'm like, you know, I'm still bald, and so it was really freaked me out.
I feel bad for you.
I know. I think I had some psychological damage from that. I think it like made me not as confident as I should be. You know,
that's true.
What's the word?
Aware.
Well, yeah, issues like self-esteem issues, you know?
Right. Did someone make fun of you? Then,
well, yeah, but you know, the chicks are like, wait, you don't have pubic hair? Like, no, I don't. I don't have any. Like, no, yes, you do. I'm like, I know I'm 13. Yes, I should have it, but I don't.
Oh, you don't ever tell them that. Oh, yeah, I'm hairy as a...
I tell everybody everything. It's always been my problem. Like, Dale, why am I telling you this? I shouldn't be telling you this.
You feel comfortable with me, you know? Because you feel comfortable with me. Yeah. So, do you play an instrument? Any of you? You all play an instrument?
I would say I am not skilled on any instruments, although I do have a lot of fun playing the ukulele.
Oh, very cool. Let me hear it.
It was a very easy instrument to learn.
The tambourine. Yeah, keep going, Dale. That sounds good. Hold on a second.
I got drums all over. I got storage in Harlem. I got drums here. I got drums there. I was thinking of taking out a little drum, but I didn't realize you played such a nice instrument.
She's breaking out her drums.
This little one, isn't it cute?
Oh, nice. A little hand drum. A djembe.
Yeah, it's a baby djembe. I'm going to play it with you. That's a guru. I like the ukulele. All right. Are you going to play it so I can hear it?
Yeah, can you hear it?
Wait.
Can you not hear it? We thought you could hear it.
I heard it before. What about now?
Do you hear it now?
Yeah. Trying to play with one hand. All right, keep it up. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening here?
I think it's an intermission or something. Dale, hey Dale, are you gonna jam on the drum?
Well, I only got my little teeny weeny play drum out, but I just jammed with you.
Oh, really?
Oh, that was real quiet on our end.
Yeah, can you play louder?
Well, I think the situation. I don't think we should do that because I think the problem is that Skype doesn't because we've noticed that when we've been speaking with you. Sometimes if we're talking at the same time, then your voice will kind of cut out over Skype. So maybe we physically cannot jam together because of the technology restraints.
I was just jamming with you, but you could. All right, you couldn't hear the drum.
Hey, at least you got the rhythms. No, I did hear it. I heard it like every once in a while. You know, like.
Oh, I'm wondering if I put it closer. I don't have a Skype stand. I need a Skype stand.
Can you play the drum one more time just by yourself so we can hear it?
Yeah. But tell me if you can hear it. Can you hear that?
Yeah. I like that. Can you do that more?
That was awesome.
I really enjoyed that.
That's my little shitty drum. I need my big drum. It's in the other room. I forgot to take it out.
More.
Can you play more of the hand drum?
The little baby drum?
Yeah, we'd like to hear more of it if you don't mind. Wait, you know, heal us, Dale.
I'm just seeing if my other big drum is better, but I have to get that out. I'm lazy. Hold on a minute.
How long
Let's see
that?
How the little one sounds.
All right.
Hold on.
Yeah, that was awesome. I put an effect on it, so it sounded really good.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool. I just want to see if my other drum's all right. Available.
Get it.
Get it. Woo, let's see. Because that one sounds really good. I didn't think I'd be playing.
I didn't think you would be either. But I'm enjoying it.
All right, while you talk, I hope these drums don't fall on my head like a couple weeks.
Oh, they fell on you a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I was in my storage in Harlem getting the drum out. My roadie's late. I'm getting all mad. So I'm getting the drum out as I tell you a funny story. So the storage is in the middle, you know, need a ladder. So I'm like, oh, man, I can't be late. Where's my roadie? So I go, I open up the storage, and bang, right on my head.
Oh,
never
that sucks.
Ow. I was so mad for the gig. I could kill everybody. Kill the roadie. I want to kill everybody. I have such a bump on my head. It didn't stop hurting until, like, once I started playing.
Nice.
No big deal. You know, but I was so mad, man. Bang, right in the head before a gig. Not the greatest thing you want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can't have your drummer take a hit like that before a gig.
That's horrible.
Well, I'm mad. So this week, my roadie better show up on time. And let's see. I still paid him the full fee. I was mad. He's a good guitar player. If you see on the video, you saw a guitar player, right? Well, you saw two, but... Did you watch both videos or one?
I watched both of them.
All right. Let's see. The white guy with the long hair, my guitar player. So he also helps me carry all the drums to the workshops, you know.
Mm.
I can teach 40, 45 people at once, man. It's a lot.
What type of other instruments do you provide besides the drums?
Oh, you know, cowbells, shakers, flute, different kind of hand drums, bells from all over the world. Ooh, that sounds good. Ooh, now that's a nice drum.
That does sound good. Is that the new drum, the big one?
This is a medium baby. Still small, but not the other one was like really small. This one is like you'll take it around and play it.
Let's
it's
hear
small,
it. But it.
Ooh, you hear that bass?
Yeah.
It hasn't been out of the case for a while, but ooh, let's see. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a new name.
You really like playing those drums, and I like that.
You called the right person. You called up the right person.
Dale Gordon, I like those drums a lot. I do.
Dale, you're probably one of the, you're definitely the best musician named Dale I've ever met.
You're sweet. You're sweet. How do you guys advertise for your radio show? How do you
advertise?
Are you famous? Yeah.
What
Indiana famous?
Word of mouth. What do you mean advertise? Twitter, social media. That's what the technical term is. Social media.
Yeah, we're leveraging our social media.
Got you. It says you guys do it every Thursday. This is Wednesday. It says on your website. What's up with
what?
That?
What is up
Thursday
with
on the website? Where'd you see that? It better not. Our website guy's going to be in trouble.
Well, the thing you sent me, whatever that is, I looked up. It has all those comic-looking nice figures, and it has some past artists that you've had on. And if you scroll down or something like that, it says, every Thursday night.
Hmm.
I'm like, okay, this is Wednesday.
That
whatever.
Must be in the fine print somewhere because it's not at the top.
On the website, on chrisbreakshow.com.
Yeah, she said cast of characters.
Cast of characters. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Down, if you go down on that page, I was just like, I guess they changed the day to Wednesday.
Oh, we did, but I forgot to update it, apparently. I'm sorry
about
that.
We changed the day, and we thought we changed the website, too.
Oh, my God.
This is disastrous.
Everybody's expecting a show tomorrow.
It's over with. We'll pull the plug. It's over.
This is disastrous.
Well, we're glad you're here with us, Dale.
Cool, man. It was a nice thing to do.
It was.
I just got the Skype. Yeah, I just got the Skype going on earlier. Just a little bit earlier, because I think I gave you the wrong name in the beginning, and then I realized what I was doing once I put the glasses on. I said,
hey, I think we're gonna
send the right name.
I think we're gonna wrap this up.
All right.
Do you have innerbeats.net is your website? Do you have anywhere else you want people to go? And can you play some more drum for us before you leave?
Sure.
Do you have any websites or books or music or anything?
What is my website?
Innerbeats.net.
Yeah, right. Thank you. That's about it. And, the New York Public Libraries, if you're around, you can look me up. I'm always playing at the, you know, all the different boroughs. So you can contact me on my website, my, AOL, dginnerbeats@aol.com. You know, if you're in New York, you want to catch a gig, you want to hang out, you want to talk drums, whatever.
Where's your next?
Get in touch with me.
Where's your next gig at?
This Friday, I'll be at the New York Public Library in the day. It's Eastchester in the Bronx. Teaching the kids there. We do world beats, you know, ethical musical styles, everything. African, Afro-Cuban, blues, Brazilian, calypso, funk, Haitian hip-hop, jazz, Latin, Middle Eastern rock, and salsa, and samba.
Woo!
Got it? And thanks a lot for getting in touch with me, you know?
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. So, anybody could call or email me and talk some drums. Visit my website. It's cool. How's that?
Yeah!
All right.
Dale Gordon.
Guys, you were fun, man.
Dale Gordon, thank you so much.
Guys, you were fun, man. I had a good time. Thanks a lot.
All right. Don't be surprised if we call you back for another appearance at some point.
Not a problem, man. And thanks a lot for getting in touch, okay?
All right. Have a good night.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Dale Gordon.
I like her.
I think I like the Dale Gordon is a good... She's a good drummer for sure.
I'm a fan.
I'm a huge fan of Dale Gordon. I've been converted.
Converted
from a I don't know Dale Gordon to a I love Dale Gordon. I've been converted. I'm a Dale Gordon fan, you could say.
Well, that's good, John. That's what we're here for, to make new friends and become new fans, you know. There's something graceful about just allowing yourself to be a fan of somebody, you know. Like I enjoy that. It's freeing. How's that Periscope treating you over there?
People have been coming in and out and stuff. When Dale came on the screen when I was showing I was showing people what Dale looked like on the screen, the bunch of hearts. I said to Dale, I was like, the bunch of hearts, they like you on Periscope, Dale. She probably had no idea what, because it's super confusing.
Is confusing because we don't have the audio. They can't hear what's going on.
Right. Watch this guy sit there and talk once in a while and click on the keyboard.
When the show's actually on, I forgot that sometimes you don't say a bunch.
So, just me sitting there.
People are watching a live video of you just sitting there with sunglasses on.
Making dumb faces at you. Well, God bless all the two people who are still in here on the Periscope.
There's two people in there?
Yeah.
It's funny to find out who they are. I think there's a way. Just tell us. Just comment. Say, yeah, I'm one of them, so we don't have to look it up, guys.
Yeah, hey, if you're on this Periscope, can you comment? What's your name? We'll give you a shout on the Chris Break Radio Show. They're not really watching. They were lined up by the droves when we had a Dale on. Dale Gordon.
Oh, maybe they're listening. Maybe they're watching your footage and listening on the Strange Label, which is on a delay.
Right, right.
I've got this figured out, John.
Okay. Chris is pretty sharp. He he found Dale on Skype. I couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I had trouble finding Dale on the Skype.
I really like speaking to her.
Me too. Yeah, me too. You never know how it's going
to
go.
It always, all our interviews, for some reason, anytime I first talk to somebody, even like when I meet people in real life, it always starts off kind of, you know, like...
Rocky.
Rocky. You know, just because it's like, hey, you're a stranger. Hey, I'm a stranger. What's up? You know, but then by the end of it, it's awesome. It's kind of like Naked and Afraid, you know, and the two people get dropped off in the woods and they're just naked looking at each other like, hey.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all out there in the open at that point.
What'd you bring?
How do you feel being naked? Yeah, on the show it's kind of weird.
I can't believe we're wearing the same thing. How embarrassing. Ha, 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 ha.
Cracking jokes.
Hey, eyes up here, buddy. Ha, 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 ha. No Periscopers are actually watching, huh?
I guess not. You know, it's an hour-long show, and as you've said, you know, who's going to sit there and watch a guy sit there in a chair for an hour? But But, you know, I wasn't paying attention to it, so, you know, maybe there wasn't more action during it. I did see some people saying stuff, but I didn't really look.
That sucks.
Because it's gone so fast. I look over, it's gone.
That does happen.
Some comments up, it's gone.
Our Periscope name is Chris Break Show, I believe. Sounds right. One word. Chris Break Show. I don't even know if we're going to use this thing. But it's there in case you want to look at it.
It's the new thing. We're trying it out, you know?
Yeah, and we're never good. We're always, like, way behind.
Yeah, that's why we wanted to jump on it, you know? We wanted to get on this Periscope, be up in the mug, and be on there. Chris Break Show is on Periscope. I want to hear someone say that. I just said that.
Lisa said it.
Lisa did say it. Yeah, I wonder if Lisa was listening. I bet you if she was, that she enjoyed Dale Gordon. Me. I bet you she loved hearing Dale Gordon play the drums.
Okay, so we were on a boat.
That was awesome. And before I forget, I was planning on trying to masterfully weave this in here on the show during the boat story, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it my style, just to say it. Chris, I peed on the boat.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. No one had a clue either. It was all stealth and stuff. I was pretty sure I was going to get busted, but nobody nobody said a word about it.
Oh, my God. Now, did you pee on the boat before or after you got in the water?
After, because okay, I couldn't so that's pee. Good. I got in the water to pee. Like,
oh, the whole time you were in the water, you couldn't bring yourself to pee?
No.
Why not?
I don't know, because you're floating in water. I don't know. It was just something weird. Like, my body wouldn't push fluids out of my pee because I was in water. You
so
know?
You're okay. So we're on a boat, and you got in the water to pee. And you
it wasn't my idea. Megan, who used to be on the show, she was there, and she got in the water to pee. She's like, I gotta pee. I'm gonna get in the water.
Yeah, Megan doesn't like you telling stories about her.
Oh, okay.
Or not stories. She doesn't like talking about her personal life.
Oh, you're right. Well,
I got yelled. Let me tell you, you broke a rule right now, John.
I'm sorry.
Because I got scolded by Megan once.
Really?
Because I said, I thought this would be okay to say. I can't remember what it was. And she basically said, here's the rule.
There's a rule.
Yeah. And you broke it, my friend. You just broke it.
That's how I figure out rules, right?
Yeah. And here's the rule. She told me this. And I apply this rule to every woman.
Okay.
I apply this rule to every woman. The rule is, if it involves my vagina, you do not tell anybody about it. It just, if anything, no matter what it is, if my vagina is involved, you don't tell anybody.
I didn't,
and that applies to so much stuff if you think about it.
I had no idea that I was talking about her vagina, but I was, because that's where the pee comes out of, I guess, right?
Yeah.
In the female anatomy, it comes out of the vagina, I guess.
The urethra, or whatever they call it.
They have a separate pee hole.
Huh? Now, here's the deal, John. So you got out, we're in a boat, it was a pontoon, to be fair, and You first of all, you got in the water wearing your shirt and tie and your socks, which is peculiar, the socks. I can understand maybe the shirt. It's just like people have these body self-image issues, which I do too. But last time I took my shirt off, I thought it was weird that no dudes took their fucking shirt off this time. I didn't get in the water, so luckily that didn't affect me. But even Brian had his shirt off last time. Like, but no, nobody was like, everybody was all uptight with their shirts on. Not that I wanted to see the man boobs or anything, but I just thought it was weird, you know?
I'm definitely not. I said a funny line. I said, I'm 30. I'm not taking off my shirt. I'm over 30. That was pretty funny. But that's how I felt. And plus, you know, yeah, like I didn't go into it thinking I was ever going to take a shirt off. I didn't think about it.
But if you get into the water, it's just, like, naturally, if I'm getting the water, I'm going to just wear swimming trunks, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I'm going to wear.
I don't know. I just...
But everybody got in. Well, okay, first of all, everybody got in their full clothes, except for the girls, of course.
I wasn't the only one, right?
But the dudes, yeah, no, you weren't. No, all the dudes kept their clothes on. But you got, like, one of the fittest bodies out of everybody next to Erica, and...
What?! I do.
We're all a bunch of fat asses, bro.
Well, you guys haven't seen me with my shirt off. But yeah, there's probably something to that. You know, maybe I've been walking around the house with my button-up shirt that I wear all the time with it open sometimes, like, you know.
Yeah.
That feels kind of cool, like, you know.
You could have done that.
Next time I will. Next time I'll do the open shirt thing. I wouldn't wear that was an option.
Well, I don't give a shit what you do. I'm just pointing out that
it is
I thought
weird
it was
that
weird.
None of the guys took their shirts off. Even the guy who The other guy, he didn't take his shirt off either. I guess he didn't.
What other guy?
Well, not the producer, Brian, but the other guy that was there. He didn't take the shirt off?
No.
Okay, I didn't.
Nobody did. I thought that was fucking weird.
I guess it is weird. It is a little bit weird, but it's weird. It's not that weird. What I find weird.
What I find weird is that you left your tie on. Not like everybody else was like in a t-shirt or a sleeveless shirt getting in there. This motherfucker's wearing a long sleeve, button-up shirt with a tie, and he gets in the...
That's just what I was wearing, you know? I didn't. I left the socks on, John. Here's the reason, because I didn't want to lose anything more. They were like, oh, you got to take... I did not want to lose anything. So I took my keys out of my pocket. I took my wallet and phone, put it in a bag. And then when I was getting in the water, like, oh, take your sunglasses off, you know, it's going to fall off. So I put that somewhere. I have all this stuff everywhere. I don't want to lose my socks or my tie. No. I knew if I took it off, I wasn't leaving the boat with it. I think that's what was going on.
Here's the funny thing. You put your stuff you didn't want to lose, you put it in a plastic bag, a grocery bag. And at the end of the day, Erica comes walking up to me, handing me a cell phone, a wallet, keys, all sorts of stuff. And she cigarettes. She's handing them to me. I don't know why she's handing them to me.
All these personal items?
Yeah, all these personal items. And she goes, these are in the trash. I'm like, what? This John, all your personal items are in the trash. And apparently what had happened was, because, you know, when you're on these boats, you use these plastic bags.
You put the trash in
for trash. And somehow your plastic bag full of your valuables, someone started throwing trash into it, and it became the trash bag. So all your belongings were at the bottom of this trash bag.
The funny thing is, I was the one that started throwing trash in there. I was throwing I was throwing my own trash in there. You know, I was like, I'll put my own trash in my own bag. But I never imagined that someone else would grab that bag and put their trash in it. Thank God for Erica, who said, you know what? There's stuff in there that's not trash. I'm going to find out whose it is. She didn't have to do that. I would have been totally fucked if someone threw that out with my keys. We wouldn't be here right now, Chris. We'd be stuck in the Raccoon Lake looking for my keys in the trash.
John, let me say something. This is one of those things.
That's why I don't put stuff anywhere.
This is one. You put the stuff in the same place. That's where you need to put it, John. Yeah, this just scared me because it just opened up the potential of what could have happened.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You got to keep an eye on John.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
John, that's weird.
Well,
it's not that weird.
If I go hiking with somebody, I intentionally ask them, where are your keys, you know?
Yeah, you do that.
I do that, and I recommend other people do that to me if I'm the one driving.
Because I remember that would happen all the time. You'd always freak me out because we'd be out there. We'd fucking...
Oh, yeah, right. We used to go there all the time. Yeah, I say somebody. Me and Chris would go out hiking. Would I go out with you hiking, Chris?
Are you trying to interrupt me?
Oh, no, no.
Oh, we go out there hiking. We eat the mushrooms.
Right.
And there was a special cave that we'd go to. And so it'd be just John and I sitting there like tripping balls inside this cave. No one out there for miles, you know. And good luck coming back to that spot. You know, you're tripping balls and... The whole idea is that you walk 10 miles.
10-mile hike.
10-mile hike, and by the time you're done walking 10 miles, the shrooms have wore off. You know?
Right. And you leave it in
and
the
you
hike.
Take, and you take your time.
Right.
You know, it's not an endurance test. If you ever start to get hot or something, you just sit down and hang out for an hour. Right. And I mean an hour. You know?
Solid.
Yeah. And you just slowly do this, and then eventually you've hiked 10 miles over the course of like 12 or 13 hours, you know?
You're ready to go home. Everything's fine.
Yeah. You had a good time. But in the middle of that, it gets a little scary. And I remember one time we're sitting out there, and who knows what piece of land, and John looks at me and he goes, man, can you imagine losing? He says, man, can you imagine losing your keys out here? What? What?
You start packing your wallet.
You got your keys. He's like, man, you'd be fucked. Like, imagine if we got back to the car and we couldn't find the keys. Like,
yes. That's probably one of the most frightening things I could ever think of, you know, because you're just like, oh, that was the best time. Oh, it was scary a little bit. It was fun there. Who knows what was going on? That one time was funny. Oh, man, that was a good day. Well, let's go home. Where's the keys? What? I don't have my keys? No, I'm serious, dude. it's dark. Like you would have to spend the night there in the park on the rocks, you know, in the parking lot. And the next day, hope the AAA or somebody would come out there to tow your car because you lost your keys, like Dr. Robert did his wedding ring. I'm just shocked that that's never happened to anybody, and I'm doggone if I'm the guy that's going to happen to. So I make sure I know where my keys are.
You know, I hate to say this, Jake, if you're listening, but Jake, I think you're the candidate. I could see you doing that. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Jake.
Man, dude, that person right there would never live that down, you know? Yeah, I don't want it to be me, but if it is.
I'm going to speak directly to Jake because I know he's listening to this. Because, Jake, you were the guy who... We went to Colorado to watch Hunter S. Thompson's ceremony.
The blast off, right?
Yeah, to watch the Gonzo blast off. We were driving there. Jake, you were the son of a bitch that anytime it's time to get in the car, like, all right, where's the keys? And then you just go, I left them in the trunk again.
In the trunk, like in the keyhole or inside of the trunk?
Inside the trunk.
What? I thought I was asking a stupid question. I was like, yeah, of course they're in the keyhole. They're in the trunk?
I believe so.
What?
I think so.
Why would they be in the trunk?
I don't know. Maybe they were in the keyhole, but I'm pretty sure they were in the trunk because what would happen is you got to get something out of the trunk.
Right,
and you got the keys in your hand. Right. You sit them down, move stuff around, close the trunk.
Pick the keys up before you close the trunk, but not check.
Or if you were me, put the key in your pocket.
Yeah. They're never in the trunk. Right.
Yes, Jake.
And so not only did... Oh, yes, they're in the trunk again. This happened again, and he didn't even care.
Jake, you're getting your balls busted. You're not even here, bro.
It's funny that he just didn't care. Like, oh, yeah, they're in the trunk. Someone better go get them.
That was hilarious. That road trip was hilarious because Jake and I, like, there'd be moments where Jake and I would just, like, about rip each other's head off, you know, because we would, because, like, we were the two, because when you go on a road trip, and I've learned a lot from this lesson, I know Jake has too, is that you kind of have to just be cool.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, just be cool. You know, because if I'm getting agitated and somebody else starts getting agitated, the next thing you know, we're yelling at each other, freaking out.
Yeah.
You know, but if we're all just cool, you know, and I'm like, okay, shit, I know I can feel myself. I'm just going to sit back. I'm not even going to say anything. I'm not busting anybody's balls for anything right now.
You're intentionally not lambasting him.
as much as I want to make fun of Jared right now, I'm not going to do it, you know, because I can see he's on edge and I'm kind of on edge. Yeah. So it's made every road trip a lot better.
As much as because, I want to make fun of him right now, I'm not going to for the greater good. Like,
yeah, for of everybody.
That's,
you know?
Good. That's very nice.
Jake knows what's going on. Cause we want to make
fun of him too.
Oh, yeah, but he was giving me shit. Like, I remember there was something having to do with a bear. I remember we were arguing about the potential idea of a bear coming into a campsite. I remember, you know, everyone's like, play dead or something. I remember Jake saying that what you want to do is, and I believe he's right. I looked it up later. I'm pretty sure he's right. But he said what you want to do is make yourself look as big as you can to scare the bear and start pounding on pots and pans. I said, Jake, that is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard.
I would have said the same, dude. But yeah, you're saying that it turns out that may be true. But
yeah, I think that's true.
I just don't believe it. I'm not going to do that. I think
that was the beginning of our argument.
That sounds like a good one, man.
Because
That sounds like a terrible idea. Oh, there's a bear. Let's all make a lot of noise. Bang pots and pans. Let's get big.
it's just eat you at that point.
Yeah. Then someone always interjects with that whole zigzag thing, right?
That always
comes up somehow. I remember Robert.
I thought zigzags was alligators are chasing.
I think it is. Yeah. But but that usually comes up when someone talks about what to do with a bear or whatever. I think zigzag. No,
we need to start calling people out more often.
Yeah.
Like we just did with Jake.
You really should because you know what?
Mike Moore, I want to tell you something, buddy. I want to ask you a question. When we did our handoff last episode, for some reason you doubted. First of all, you asked if we were friends or no. I said we were friends, and you said, do you really mean that? Like, you doubted that. And it kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. And I was like, wait, what did I say to him? Like, what did I say that made him, you know, think otherwise?
Right.
You know?
That really eats up your brain power, you know?
It does, because then you're like, man, why'd Mike say that? Like, what's... I was like, I don't know, you're right. And then you got me thinking about it.
It puts you in a position where you just have to not care about this guy's feelings anymore, because I think it's just a joke.
Yeah, Mike, I don't care about your feelings anymore.
Because I think he's just joking. But yeah, Chris and I had a long conversation about, like, why did he say that? What did you say? So, Mike, we don't know how to take it, but we don't care about your feelings anymore. Because we don't know when to trust you or not. You're always joking around or whatever.
Trust.
So we tried to, you know, play nice, but, well, we tried to be sensitive to your feelings. But if you're going to eat up my man's brain power with worrying about what he said, not worth it.
We don't care about your feelings. What do you mean play nice?
Well, I didn't mean to say play nice. I just meant, you know, Mike, we're like you saying to Chris, do you mean that? That shook us up so much. We wasted a lot of time thinking about what he or I said to make you upset. So I say...
Yeah, mainly the conversation was, why doesn't Mike like us? Does Mike think there's something weird going on? Like, what's going on here?
It caused paranoia in the ranks.
Yeah.
It caused dissension in the group.
Yeah.
Mike, what's your deal, man?
Yeah.
What did we say? What did we do?
What
did we do to make you so upset? We did everything we could. We handed the show off.
And that was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun, man.
And then he had to end it, you know, on some sour note.
He had to end on a sour note. We were having a blast, open, you know, handing off to you, it was a good time. And you had to go and say something like that.
Yeah, Mike. Next time, let Travis do all the talking, okay, buddy?
Hell, Travis, even Napier.
Even Napier. Those guys aren't sour pusses.
Even Napier. That guy's got the just most accidentally offensive mouth I've ever heard. But he'd be better than you, Mike, because you got us seriously thinking that we pissed you off, so we're backtracking. We're seeing
stop. Stop interrupting Napier. Anytime that guy tries to talk, you interrupt him nonstop. Nonstop.
He's got something to say, man.
He was trying to talk to that Dire Straits guy, and you kept interrupting him.
Man,
he couldn't get a word in edgewise.
They could not get a word in because Napier. Napier, man. Napier needs to do that interview.
Napier couldn't get a word in because Mike kept interrupting him.
Shame on you, Mike. You got to let the co-host talk sometimes. You know, he had stuff to say to the Dire Straits guy. You should have let him.
So this is the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks program. That's the fucking Mike Moore show.
Wheelbarrow Full of Mike Moore. We can do this because we're a co-op. We wouldn't talk about Frank like this.
We can do this. Honestly, we could do this, Mike, because you're our friend. That's right. Really what it comes down to.
Right. He's going to hear this and wonder if we're friends.
Yeah. We only talk like this about our friends.
Yeah.
What great friends we are.
Yeah, the people we talk the most shit on are our closest friends.
That's so bad.
You know, you're on the inside circle at that point. Consider it a, you know, thing.
I was trying to explain that to producer Brian the other day. He came up to me.
He didn't get it?
No, well, no, he came up to me and he said, I normally don't like to, you know, talk about people. But I got to ask you about it. And he started talking about one of our friends, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, you came to the right guy because that's all I do.
Well,
I was like, I don't gossip. I'm not going to go tell somebody, oh, this guy said this about this guy, you know? I was like, but sometimes I need to let shit out. I need to complain about one of my friends to one of my other friends.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that they're not my friends or that I don't like them.
Right.
You know, it just means that, you know, something happened and I'm curious about it. I just need to tell you and get your opinion on it.
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts?
Yeah.
You know,
that's a smart thing to do, honestly, get it out of your head and to hear what someone else says, because it's usually something you hadn't thought of. That's how I see it. Like, I ask you stuff all the time, Chris, like, same reason, you know. It's like, dude, what do you think about this situation? What I would do, dude, is I would do, and it's usually something real simple. It's like, yeah, I should just not worry about it.
See, I don't, Caleb.
I would sleep, I'd bring a girl home to my house and sleep with her in my room. I took that advice, got kicked out.
Sorry, man. But hey, Caleb pissed me off once because he was like, he said something to me. He referred to me to my face as like the guy who like repeats any piece of information told to him, the guy who talks about everyone. Well, and basically.
That's slander.
Yeah, I was like, you know, he's kind of.
And you don't do that.
Well, I kind of do, but I don't think he realizes that. I do that to an extent.
I guess he did.
Like, I don't know.
Doesn't understand.
Yeah, fuck Caleb, man. Yeah, Caleb's a fucking douche anyway now. Come around and hang out, motherfucker. Do something.
We're calling you out, Caleb.
Do something, Caleb.
Do something. What you gonna do? Nothing? Nothing. We're calling
Caleb,
you out.
You're a douche. Now, look, here's the deal. But what he doesn't know, which is funny because now I'm repeating what he said, but what he doesn't know is that... I don't, you know, like if somebody, like for example, if somebody had said some bad shit about him or something, like, you know, like
you don't run in tattletale.
Yeah, I'm not going to say, hey, do you know that somebody said this or somebody thought that? You know,
yeah,
like, I don't do that.
It's the intention behind it. You don't do it to gossip or to spread.
I don't do it to hurt people's feelings.
Right, right.
I do it because I honestly enjoy it. It's entertainment to me, but I don't. But the intent, I'd never hurt people's feelings.
Yeah,
you know?
I think your intent is to get to the bottom of it.
I'm fascinated by people.
Right, right, right.
I'm just fascinated by everybody I know.
Yeah, and the longer you're around someone, the more of that
including
weirdness.
Myself.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to ask your friends about yourself. Like, I find myself doing this. What does that mean?
Yeah, John, what the hell's wrong with me? Yeah. You've gotten a few of those before.
So have you. That happens to me, too. Don't worry about it. It'll go away. Oh, thank you, God. Thanks for... Mike is the Chris Brake Show's number one fan. Chris WFO Dix is saying that, except the three lady. Except Mary Elizabeth Rumsey. Yeah, yeah, Periscope.
Yeah, Mike Moore is listening. Yeah.
Mike Moore, everybody, listening on the Periscope, watching on the Periscope. Mike is the Chris Brake Show's number two fan behind the three lady, which is Mary Elizabeth.
From meandrhyme.wordpress.com.
Mike. God, get her name right.
Mary Elizabeth Rumsey.
Mary Elizabeth doing the threes. We love you and appreciate you. We like reading them. I don't know what my day would be without the threes. I'll read them.
You like the voicemails.
I love the voicemails. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I play them for Eric, my brother. He likes to listen. My brother loves to listen to voicemails. Like, he just likes to hear that. So, yeah, he loves hearing those because, yeah, he doesn't listen to the show. Like I said, I think my mom asked him tonight, do you want to listen to the show, Eric? He said no. And like I said, I think he thinks he's going to turn it on and hear stuff that's going to get people in trouble or whatever.
That could be true.
Yeah, it is true.
But had you told me he was going to be listening to it, then I might have tried to clean it up a little.
He didn't say that that's why, but yeah, I'll play the show for him sometime. And I have. I've played
it
in the other room.
He probably doesn't like that.
I don't know what you're talking about that I said, but I didn't mean it, I'm sure. You called her the three lady. That's very disrespectful. You got to know names, Mike. Names. Mary Elizabeth Rumsey. She's got three of them. Three names.
Wait, now I'm having fun. I like you over there just reading all the chat. We should do a whole Periscope show one time, although nobody would probably be in there.
We'll talk about it for 3 months straight on the podcast. This December coming, the Periscope show.
All right, we need to get one of those plugs so we can get our audio plugged into the Periscope. That's what we need.
Yeah.
I'm looking to get some sort of case or a mount or something because we need something better than this.
Yeah. Especially this angle. Like I
kind of like that. I like that it's just your face the whole time. That cracks me up. Like imagine watching Tom Green show. It's just Glenn Humphrey's face. Yeah.
I would definitely watch that. But I was thinking, like, I got one of those Chromebooks, you know, new technology, but it's got a camera in it, Chris.
A camera?
Yeah, this computer has a camera in it, and it's aimed at my face.
Like a real camera?
A real camera, dude, in the computer, and it's aimed right at my face.
No way.
Living in the future, dude.
How much
but I'm
that
telling
cost?
You,
jeez,
you don't even want to know, dude.
It was a real camera.
It was over $100.
Does that have a flash?
I don't think it needs one. I don't know.
Need one?
I don't know, dude. I don't get it.
How many megapixel is it?
I don't even know, dude.
Is it at least two?
I think it's. Oh, dude, it's more than two.
But there's no such thing as more than 2 megapixel.
It's
those
at least
like $500.
No, it's at least four, dude. You don't know.
4 megapixels.
You don't know.
How big are those files?
I haven't looked at them because I shut the camera off because
I can even take a picture. It's not going to fit on your 12 megabyte on your 12 megabyte SD sand disk? Oh,
yeah, dude. They got hard drives now.
Hard drive.
I don't know how to
take the whole
works.
Drive out and put it in a chassis. And
you put it in your pocket. You take it with you. Good to go.
What are you wearing, JNCOs? How are you going to put a hard drive in your pocket?
It just slide the hard drive down the JNCO pocket. Does anyone that listens to this show, do you think they remember JNCO jeans?
Everybody does.
I hope so.
Oh, my man Mike used to wear Zones.
Zones? I remember Zones. I never got to wear Zones. I wasn't allowed to. Is that a cabbie cap? Yes.
He's referring to your hat.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of hat it is.
I want to know if your sweat shows up on this periscope.
It does. That's all I see is a glistening face looking back at me.
Hey, you found your hat, John. Or is that a new one? Didn't you lose your hat for a while?
For a while, it went missing, and then it came up. I found the hat. I was going to have to go get a new one. But my mom wouldn't let me have JNCOs. That's what Mike said. But wait, he gets the Zones?
Yeah, what? No, why not, Mike? That can make sense if it's because they're $50 a piece.
He said he's a Wrangler man. I thought he had Zones.
He had Zones. Arizona Jean Company, the JNCO Zones.
Zones.
Arizona.
Oh, is it Zons?
Zons.
Zons.
Z-O-N-Z.
I wasn't allowed to wear clothing with the letter Z on it.
I wasn't allowed to wear my Marilyn Manson shirt. One time I bought an Alanis Morissette. What'd he say?
He's a Wrangler man, but he cuts holes and shit in him to make him cool.
This is Mike from the Weird Bowl Full of Dicks Internet radio program we're speaking with on the Periscope. Chris Breck shows our name. What the hell was I saying? Oh, I bought an Alanis Morissette shirt one time.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna be cool, you know? I'm gonna wear this shirt with Alanis Morissette on it. And my mom,
a popular artist.
My mom washed it, and it was like huge, man. She still denies she did it on purpose, but she washed it, and it turned into like a belly shirt, like off a Full House or something.
That's a blunder that your mom doesn't make, dude. Like, she knows how to do laundry.
I've never seen this happen before. I could
good clothes that never happens.
Yeah, I could see you doing this to my Marilyn Manson shirt. Right. But Alanis Morissette, come on.
Just don't like the Canadian vibe. Just don't like that jagged little pill. I got to know. I don't get to know nothing. why was your mom's more offended by Alanis Morissette than Marilyn Manson?
Maybe it was a cheap shirt.
Maybe. But you said that's the only time it's ever happened?
A cheap Canadian laborized cotton.
Do you ever feel like your mom is like jealous of other girls around you? Because I get that sometimes. Like, that's weird. It's very weird. I don't like it.
I think my mom gave me some weird hang-up about sex. I think I have some hang-up about sex now from my mom.
Oh, man.
Because my mom was like, basically, like, real strict about you don't have sex. You know, and, like, just basically, like, sex was, I don't know if she said it was wrong, but probably a before marriage thing. Like, she was just so afraid of me getting somebody pregnant. It was like, you don't have sex. No sex. No sex. And I wasn't allowed to you know, like, have a girl in my bedroom with the door
closed.
Right. You know? Like, it was real weird. And I know that was kind of common. But,
yeah. What are you doing in there with the door closed, do you think?
Yeah, but I don't know. But then you go over to their house and you close the door all you want.
Right. Stay but over then, there for a week.
Yeah, but then, like, you know, none of those girls got pregnant. You know?
Right.
And then I find.
Well, now that they're older, they have, you know.
Yeah.
But they're having, like,
But then I find myself just, like, being afraid of sex, you know, just because I've been told no, to where it's like. You know, like, I can't, you know, it's real weird.
It ruined you for sex.
Yeah. And I got to be real, real comfortable with somebody before I can have sex. Like, I, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's because I smoke a lot, too, to where it's hard. It makes it harder to get blood flow down there because I smoke so many cigarettes. But, I mean, like, I'll just be too nervous and freaked out.
If I barely know
a girl.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's all it is, you know. Like, yeah, nerves, you know. The first time I ever had sex, I couldn't do it. I was like so this, you know, I was like, I was, that really fucked me up, you know, I was like really bummed out, you know, that I couldn't, but yeah, I was nervous.
I'm not supposed to do this. Mom told me I'm not supposed to be doing this. I'm not supposed to be doing this. Yeah, I'm not supposed to be doing
same
this.
Same in my head probably too, you know, it's a big deal, you know, you're losing your virginity, you know, like it's a big deal. And I guess it is a big deal. I'm not saying it's not. But yeah, that whole pressure, like I just couldn't even do it. It was like, I tried to have the sex. I couldn't even do it. I was super bummed out. But the next time it worked and it was enjoyable.
mine was the third time.
Oh, nice. So I'm not the only one that failed on my first attempt.
No. I know.
I was good.
No, I'm sorry. I messed up. I messed up stories.
Mixed them up?
Yeah, I mixed them up.
Did you have trouble? Like, I couldn't maintain an erection with the condom on at first. Like, I had to practice that. I went home and shut my door and put condoms on for like a week.
You know?
So I could go back to my girlfriend's house and have the sex, you know?
You know, man, I should have done that. I was listening to Old Love Line.
Yeah.
And I heard them recommend it. The guys do that.
Mm.
You know, they're referring to, you know, like, you know, you're an Olympic swimmer, you know? He's like, when you go... You know, he's like when you go and you do this, you know, he's like, you got all, you know, he's like, when you're practicing, you know,
right.
you got all these different advantages, things that, you know, like aren't there. He's like, you need to put your head in the game, pretend that it's real. You know, he's like, go practice in the actual stadium, you know, put that condom on, you know.
That, there's something to that, man, because I don't know if you're like me, I guess, no. You know, you just get to that moment. It's just nerve wracking, you know, and that nervousness will kill a boner anytime, you know. If there's anything that'll antidote to a boner, it's being nervous about something.
Now I heard Adam Carolla say one time, this was one of the most genius things I've ever heard. It was a guy who would finish too early,
right,
with his girlfriend,
right,
especially if he was on top, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he would just like, he just gets so excited that he would not be able to satisfy his girlfriend because he would just get oversatisfied super fast.
Right.
You know, he needs something to slow him down. And
what did he say?
Adam recommends something to him called the Ernest Maneuver.
Hmm. Ernest Maneuver.
Yes, something like that. Ernest something. And he, when he asked him what it was, he goes, here's what you need to do. He's like, you know that guy, Hey Vern? He goes, you need to get a big poster of his face and put it above the bed. He goes, and any time you think you're about to ejaculate, you look up at that, and it'll slow you down. That was one of the funniest pieces of advice I've ever heard.
That's way better than baseball. Think about baseball.
It might not have been maneuver. It was Ernest something. It just...
If there's one thing that doesn't that should not be anywhere near a sexual experience, it's a picture of Ernest's face going, "Hey Vern, you know?
Know what I mean? Like,
just... Know what I mean, Vern?" Yeah, but what about when you're on the, you know, whatever, and she's looking up at it, you know, you don't want your girl to see Vern's face up there. She's thinking about Vern while you're making love to her. I don't know why, ever since you put that up there, I just can't reach an orgasm. I don't know. I just want a giant face of Ernest on my wall.
Me too.
Just do.
Me too.
Long live the man.
Really, really bad. Badly.
Yeah.
Immediately.
I wanted an Ernest shirt too. I want to have Ernest's face on my face if I could do that.
You know what I want you to have, John? I want you to have the gray shirt and the little denim hat. The
blue jeans. Dress up like
I want you just to walk around just with the vest. You can't, just walking around like that the whole time. That should be your new...
The new wardrobe.
The new wardrobe. And I'll get brown khaki pants with Chuck Taylors and a green vest with a white t-shirt, and I can be Doug. I can dress up like Doug the whole time.
We need to get two people to be the fat cop and the skinny cop. Remember those guys?
From what?
Well, Ernest goes to jail, but I think it was some other ones too. The fat cop and the skinny one.
Like from the guys, like the from like the cooks from
probably
cooks from Goes to Camp.
Probably, yeah, yeah. And the skinny guy doesn't talk.
And the mailman from Ernest Goes Ernest Christmas.
Those guys are hilarious, dude. Their little gimmick that they have together is really funny. Like, it's almost like a Penn and Teller type of thing. From, you know, it's just like, well, because one of them doesn't talk, I guess. But
he's short and skinny. The other guy's tall and big and fat.
Yeah, well, Laurel and Hardy. How about that?
Oh, there you go.
But that's still funny. Long, you know, missing long that Jim ago. Varney. We need to write, you know, a song about Jim Varney. Missing that Varney. I'm just missing that Jim.
Gee, I'm glad it's raining.
Yeah. That's like the saddest song we've ever played.
Drops when it pours.
People like that song. They knew it, you know. They're like,
all they wanted was a hero. All I needed was a friend.
That's a really, I mean, that's a really sad song. People used to, they're like, yeah, you guys did the Ernest song. People, I've talked to people that's what they remember.
People liked when we did that one. They didn't like the Killer Tofu though. Fuck them.
They had to have. Somebody had to have liked that, you know. Sicko from Green Jello, he must, somebody sitting out there in the audience when we played Killer Tofu must have liked it, they, right?
I think they, well, probably, but I think they liked, I think they liked the fact that I called it out, like I introduced it like it was some big political statement. What they're doing to our fucking food, this is about the United States government, what they're doing to our fucking meat, our goddamn Burger King, our fucking Honker Burgers, fast food feels fuzzy, because it makes me kind of funny.
It's made from stuff that's scuzzy.
Yeah, there you go. That's what feels funny, because it's made from stuff that's scuzzy. And you don't eat too much fried food.
How are you? Get a tofu. E-I-E.
I eat my sugar cereal, and it makes my teeth bacterial. And I don't eat... is that a different line?
Yeah, what is that line?
I don't eat too much fried food.
I don't remember. We should have done Need More Allowance. But that was hilarious. You opened it up with that whole political thing. That was one of the longest, like, oldest jokes I ever wanted to do in a band. I wrote it down. I was like, it'd be funny to have a song where, you know, it does all the stupid statistics, you know, like, did you know the 27% of the people, da, 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 da. Like some political thing, but it was just, you know, about something stupid, you know, 27% of people don't, you know, whatever. But yeah, that's what you did.
27% of people in the United States who are under the age of 19 are driving around with underinflated tires.
Right. Stuff like that. Did you know? But yeah, that's what you did with that. You took
60% of Americans do not know how to tune a standard e-guitar.
What is going on? It sounds like something that would have been like Has Been or whatever, that William Shatner.
Don't steal John's ideas.
But yeah, you open up the Killer Tofu with it. This song is all about the U.S. government, and everyone's like, "Yeah, you know, you're totally ready for that political song, you know, like the rock and roll band's political song." It's Killer Tofu. That's really, really, really funny. I don't know why no one else thought that was funny. Maybe they didn't know the song, but
yeah, because we butchered the shit out of it.
No, dude.
It didn't sound like four lads from wherever they're from.
Bluffington. Well, yeah, where are they from in the show?
Beats me. That is correct.
I think that Dale Gordon did a good thing for the show.
All right. That was great talking to Dale Gordon. We are the Chris Briggs Show. We are signing out. Check us out on ChrisBriggsShow.com, at Chris Briggs Show on Twitter. We got the Periscope going now, Chris Briggs Show on Periscope. If you follow us, you will get a notification on our phone, your phone, when we randomly decide to go live, if we do. And if we don't, then hey, we won't bother you. But we're live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on Chris on StrangeLabel.com. So is John Rapp. Ooh.
DJ, play that funky music.
I'd like to thank Darren Snyder from Indian Tune and Mike Moore from Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks. I'd like to thank John G from 405, Matt Leroy from Beardy and the Beast. I'd like to thank Mary Elizabeth Rumsey from meandrhyme.wordpress.com. Rich Barker from Punk Rock Night. Where the hell's that guy been? And John, I'm going to thank Ron at Radio Max Music.
Jeremy at Couch Potato Nation, thank you, man. Mark at Tangent Bound Network, we want to say thank you to Jack at The Mix FM for putting it down. Suma Peter at Loudtown Online Radio coming out of
Africa.
Africa, that's where. Thanks for playing the show in Africa. Linda and Ron at Scott Pub.
Scott Pub.
Thank you. Tom at Talkstream Live. Mike at IRN.
Internet Radio Network.
Toby at Radio Clock. The Mars Sound Man at
United Sounds Choice.
Tico at
FJS Radio.
And Peter at
Cornucopia Broadcasting.
Big Nate on the air.
At John.
Cornucopia Radio.
John, let's take a breather. Okay, thank you very fix that. Much. Fix that. Fix. I'll fix it, you fuck.
Okay, it's fixed.
Okay.
Tico
at FJS Radio.
Peter at
Cornucopia Broadcasting.
And Big Nate on the air
at Cover Charge Radio.
Dropping balls.
All right. That's a good show.
That's a good one.
I'm glad we found a good Dale Gordon.
Dale Gordon, maybe that Dale Gordon. That's someone we could have on the show from now on.
I like that.
Dale Gordon.
Have her call in from time to time, check in, tell us what's happening, you know, with their life and
what's going on with Dale Gordon. Yeah. Dale Gordon was such a nice guest.
I know. Maybe we could get a segment that'll be like Dale will tell you.
Oh, that'd be great.
Ask Dale.
Oh yeah, and we could ask her questions, and she could tell. Oh, that's a great. Yeah, we'll have to do that.
I like her. All right, guys, thanks a lot. ChrisRickShow.com.
Okay, thank you very much. I hope you play it, and I know this is recording, and I hope you play it. Okay, see you guys.